How did you get into dog training, Emma?
I started as a dog walker.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
What advice would you give to dog walkers that want to transition into that dog training realm?
I would show them. So I used to do... I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is it on the website?
No.
Oh, it's a secret then.
It's a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some details about that later.
Yeah, that's...
Let's see who's better.
What sort of problems as a pet dog trainer do you see the most?
This is what got shoved down my throat at college. It was socialise, socialise, socialise. So it's just people letting their dog up to every single dog, every single person, and just find everything out there more rewarding than the owner themselves. So I think it's about...
What are your biggies for training puppies?
You know, the puppies that I raise, I take them everywhere. So some of the really good dog trainers aren't very active on Instagram.
No.
Silent.
No.
Yeah.
We had a chat last night about... Here's a story for you that I never thought I'd tell. Fully
that
open.
That is a lucky dog.
I know.
I feel like only human beings could do something like welcome an animal into its home and say...
This week's podcast guest is Emma from Raven Canine Dog Training. Emma has a wide following on social media and has travelled all over the world perfecting her craft in training dogs in both behaviour and obedience. She runs a very successful mentorship programme where she mentors a wide range of students across the whole of the UK and beyond. She is a current PSA competitor and has a wealth of dog training knowledge in both obedience, protection and behaviour. This was a very exciting and insightful conversation that I thoroughly enjoyed, and I hope you enjoy it too. Emma, you've seemingly been all over the world training dogs.
I have.
Australia? America?
I didn't do it in Australia, actually.
Oh.
No.
No. You just lived there?
Just lived there, yeah. America, California and New Hampshire.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where's your favourite?
New Hampshire. No. It's like here. They've got four seasons, really beautiful.
Oh, nice.
California's too hot.
Would you ever migrate?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
That's like a dog trainer's dream, right?
Yeah. Mm. PSA Central.
Yeah. What brings you to Yorkshire?
The Nipopo seminar by Hans.
You excited?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
What experience do you have with Nipopo?
I've done a two-day seminar previously before, and that's it.
I think we all inadvertently apply some sort of Nipopo to training our dog,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things where I'm there this weekend and I'm going to think, I do that. Oh, yeah, I do that. I could do that.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be really good. I've been to... two of Hans's seminars now and loved them. Considered going to do silver and gold school, but
yeah,
costly endeavor.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what Hans says this weekend about my dog and everybody else's. And yeah,
so you're known as Raven Canine Dog Training on Instagram.
Yeah,
and you've collated yourself a fairly decent following
of
what, 65,000-70,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Raven?
My female dog.
Okay, I've not met her.
No.
Where is she now?
She's my oldie. She's with a friend right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's too far for her to travel 4 hours and back. Yeah, she's 8 now, so.
Oh, okay. Your OG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you get into dog training, Emma?
I started as a dog walker.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, dog walker 9 years ago now. And then I didn't want to train dogs because I actually didn't want to work with people.
Yep.
And then I soon realised that I did have to work with people.
Very common misconception that
is,
a dog trainer works with dogs all day, every day.
I know, and doesn't interact with a human being.
No.
Yeah. So I started dog walking and then quickly realised that to have good dog walks, I probably need to put some sort of training into the dogs.
Yep.
So they weren't crazy.
So you transitioned into, like, training walks?
Yes. So I started offering training pack walks, which was something new to my area. I had two friends doing it in different areas. I loved the idea.
Nice.
So I just ran with what they were doing already, and
that's
it was
good.
Really popular. Yeah.
We have a lot of dog walkers reach out to us to try and bridge the gap between their walking role and their training role.
Mm.
So do you have any advice on what they could start doing in terms of approaching clients? A lot of dog walkers that want to transition into that training side of a dog job, as it were, struggle with convincing the client that their dog does need training, since they have the burden of walking their dog.
Yeah.
The dog walker has the burden.
Yeah.
Therefore, the client is like, I don't care how my dog behaves for you because they're not behaving like that for me because I don't walk the dog because you walk the dog.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to dog walkers that want to transition into that dog training realm?
I would show them. So I used to do, sounds so simple, but group sits and downs with all the dogs.
Yep.
So I'd have like 6 dogs lined up in like a pretty photo. And the owners typically were just so gobsmacked that their dog could hold a sit in like close proximity to other dogs. And then I kind of explained to them, well, if we start doing bits here and there, or if you start doing extra bits, you know, you could achieve this as well. Yeah, and everybody loves seeing pictures of their own dog, don't they? So,
of course. Mm-hmm. So proof is in the pudding.
In the pudding. Mm-hmm.
Mantra, I guess.
Yeah.
And okay, so where did you go after the dog walking training side of things? Where did things transition to then?
I went and shadowed a trainer. I did a year-long course at college.
Okay.
Canine care training and management, I believe it was called.
And how was that? Because we have a lot of people that are also doing these sorts of courses, and we get mixed feedback. So what would you advise? Because I'm sure they're costly, right?
Yeah, it was a fair amount. I think clients like to see that you've done something.
Yeah.
Even though I would say I probably only learned about 5% of what I know now from doing it, because it's kind of, I mean, they're obviously not talking about tools in there. They're not talking about sport kind of obedience. I did learn, yeah, a small amount. Clients like to see that, but yeah, a year there. And then the dog walking, went and shadowed some trainers. Raven came along, so I just started kind of practicing things on her.
Raven's a Malinois?
She's a Dutch Shepherd.
Okay.
Yeah, so kind of similar.
I didn't know that.
It wasn't until I went to America just after COVID, the travel ban lifted. That's where I really learned most of what I started to be successful with Joseph Sinantes, who I went and spent time with.
And what appealed to you about dog sports? Because presumably when you went to America, that was when you were first exposed to dog sports? Protection sports?
No, I'd gotten Ruse. So Ruse was 16 months when I went to California, and I'd gotten him during COVID and thought, do you know what? I'm going to do a sport with him. Got him, started doing Mondio Ring, and that was kind of my intro into dog sports, was Mondio Ring with him.
Let's take it back a step.
Mm-hmm.
What made you go, okay, I want a Dutch Shepherd? Again, very similar to a Malinois.
Yeah, so I saw Raven. So at the time I was training my parents' dogs.
Okay.
And when I went to shadow a trainer, he had Raven, and I was just blown away by her intensity. Like, she was a lot of dog. I'd never seen anything like it. She was just spinning and chaotic, but then everything she did was really intense. And I'm quite an intense person as well, and I'm quite creative. So I wanted something I could really get like my teeth stuck into, and Raven seemed to fit the bill. Oh, she was my intro into the working breed.
Okay, so you then spent some time in the US with
Ruse.
Yep.
Yep.
And what did you do there?
Spent 3 months at, it was called at the time, Advanced Canine Systems.
Yep.
Joseph Sinante was running that, and I spent 3 months there learning from him, his trainers. He worked Ruse for me, and we did sport stuff, pet stuff. At the time, he was raising a group of protection dogs that he'd bred.
Okay.
So I got to see some of those being built. Loads of stuff. Yeah.
Nice. And how long were you there for?
11 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And was that limited due to visa reasons, or?
Yeah, you've got 90 days and then you have get out of the country.
Then you've evac'd. So you're headed home?
Yeah.
And then where did your business go from there once you've gained all this knowledge from the US?
Then I started having other trainers reach out. Actually, while I was in the States, I had a handful of girls reach out and say, when you come back, could I shadow you and learn from you? So I thought, why not? I'll share what I've learned. And then it kind of blew up from there. For the last 2 years, I've been having other trainers and walkers come.
Yeah, I've seen shadow, you have a mentorship program, right?
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
It's really busy. Yeah, I think because as far as I know, no one else is offering like an in-person one.
Yep.
No, there's some online ones, but I personally learn in person.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I prefer.
We offer an in-person one.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. It's like half and half. It's like a week's crash course, a week shadowing, and then monthly check-ins.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is it on the website?
No.
Oh, it's a secret then.
It's a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to get some details about that later.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, see whose is better. Joking.
You're competitive, right?
Yeah. No, do you know what? I'm actually not.
I fucking believe it.
I hate competing. You just said at the start of this, I had a resting. Can I swear on this?
Yeah, yeah.
I had a resting
shit
bitch face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I hate competing. No.
Okay.
I hate it. No.
So we fast forward to today, mm-hmm. and what does a day in the life of Raven Canine training look like?
Okay, so right now it's the two boys, Raven, and a Labrador puppy that I'm raising for a family.
Yep.
So it's very much focused on getting the puppy out because he's 4 months old. So yep. he gets lots of exposure, lots of socializing. Ruse is injured at the moment. Pre-injury, we were trial prepping. So he's just on rest at the moment. And then Rord is 16 months old. So I'm just building him up at the moment in protection, in obedience, and also just making him an all-round nice pet dog as well. And then I have an online mentorship group. So I do check-ins with them.
Nice.
I sometimes have in-person mentorship students. I've just had two recently. They've now gone home. Mm-hmm. And then I also do the occasional one-to-one as well. It's quite busy.
How often are you doing one-to-ones nowadays? Because I feel like they're the bane of almost every dog trainer's life.
Yes.
Maybe we shouldn't say that, but how often are you doing those?
Maybe twice a week, not very often anymore.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
That's the dream, right?
It is the dream.
That's a lot of busting out 4 or 5 a day.
I know.
Getting through them.
I mean, they're still good because it's hands-on experience, different dogs. And if I had more time, I'd probably be doing more.
It's good for deep practice. You learn fast.
Yeah, exactly.
You learn really fast.
And it's good for people skills.
What sort of problems as a pet dog trainer do you see the most?
No recall. Big one. No recall.
I often see, if we look at a consult form, no recalls on the list every single time.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually coupled with other problems, whether that be pulling on the lead, reactivity, resource guarding, but it seems to be everyone's priority.
Mm.
And I feel like there's certain boxes you need to tick off before you go ahead and work on recall.
For sure, yeah.
What sort of advice do you have for people out there that are looking for their dog to be, again, buzzword coming up, more engaged with them whilst they're at liberty and off a lead?
I think just doing more with your dog. I think that, and this is what got shoved down my throat at college, it was socialise. So it's just people letting their dog up to every single dog, every single person, and just find everything out there more rewarding than the owner themselves. So I think it's about, yes, do those things, but we as dog trainers understand that you can still socialise a dog just by having them around those things instead of directly interacting with them. You know, play with your dog every day. It's really simple. Get a toy, learn how to play with your dog, hand feed, like interact with your dogs every single day, everywhere you go, for a few minutes. It doesn't have to be hours and hours.
Just do things. Do something different with your dog.
Literally.
Do anything. Just be creative. Just go and do something with your dog. Just get out of the habit of putting them on a lead and walking around the block 3 times. No one wants to do that. No. I don't want to do that. My dog doesn't want to do that. There's so many other things you can do, right?
Literally. The trainer that I shadowed in California, I used to sit in on all of his, like the evals, and he said so many times, if clients stop walking their dogs, you know, on a lead around the block, I'd be out of a job.
Yeah.
Because all the bad habits happen on
that. That's where it happens,
The pulling, the barking, the ignoring the owner,
all of it. They're like hyper arousal in like hyper concentrated environments.
Mm-hmm.
We're just passing dog after dog and smell after smell, and then the traffic comes into play and it just stacks and stacks and stacks.
Yeah.
And then very quickly, the lead going on the dog equals all of these things.
Yeah.
And then boom, there's that.
Yeah.
Reactivity. But if you just like stick the dog into a car, drive them to a field,
mm-hmm.
play with them, do some food, do some sits and downs, they're happy. Finish with that, letting them have a sniff on a long line.
Yeah.
Sound, put them back in. And
Yeah,
we'd all be out of jobs, I think.
Yeah. I think maybe to clients, it almost sounds not enough to them. They think that there must be some sort of, it must be hours, it must be more complicated than it needs to be.
No.
But it's super simple. We complicate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just we have a certain rhetoric or certain kind of, I don't know how we view dogs and what we should do with the dogs. Like, I've got to walk the dog today. So I've got to walk the dog. But it's just, like I said, there's so many different things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have some questions about sport that we'll come to at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to quickly check my phone, actually. Because I'm sure I had something else.
It's so cold in here.
It's ice cold, isn't it?
I'm like shaking.
We can throw a quick cut in here. Okay, so you've raised Porridge.
Yes.
Which has an Instagram account. Life of Porridge, is that right?
That's it,
that correct?
Yeah.
So there's loads of great puppy tips and advice on there.
Yes, and there will be. There'll be all the content. So I collated all the content of raising her for the last 7 months. And then the other puppy that I'm raising at the moment, I've been taking content of him too.
Oh, nice.
And you'll just go out in a little pretty package.
Yeah,
and you
that's
can
good.
Access it.
On your website? Do you have a website?
I do. It's down for maintenance at the moment because I had loads of pretty photos taken. I haven't decided if it'll be on my website or maybe a Patreon. I haven't decided yet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Look out for that.
Mm-hmm.
What are your biggies for training puppies?
Ooh.
We've obviously spoke about socialization, exposure and things like that. But what are your biggies for training puppies and where do you see pet owners going wrong? So I think if you get puppyhood right, you can avoid so many problems just by a couple of tweaks here and there, really, from that 8 to 16 week mark even.
I think just be the party, like be your puppy's everything. Still make sure you socialise them, the crate training, etc, etc. Build some independence from you. But, you know, the puppies that I raise, I take them everywhere. So I go to a friend's house, I get them out, I do something with them, I put them away. I go out with my other dogs, I get them out, I do something around my dogs, put them away. So they just learn wherever we go, we can do stuff together.
You're the main point of interest. I like it. Okay. Obviously, you run a mentorship program, and dog training is an industry that people are just trying to get into, and they're trying to just break the wall and get in there and get their hands on dogs. And we get asked all the time for shadowing and mentoring, and can I come and watch for a day, and volunteers, etc., etc. What advice would you give someone that wants to start thinking about embarking on a career in dog training, whether that be any information about the industry or where they could start or what to look out for, any potential red flags?
I think first of all, like, be open. So yes, find a good mentor or someone that you look up to, but equally be open to learning from different people, even if that's to see something you don't like and you wouldn't use. I think that's just as valuable as learning what it is you do want to use. I think that there's lots of different trainers I look up to, and they all do things slightly differently, but I can still take the things that I like from each one, and still other times I can look at someone and think I wouldn't do that, but their values align with mine. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
Like,
of course.
Yeah, I think it's important. Someone once said to me, you're a good trainer because you take the things that you like from every single person and then kind of like create it into something. Like, everything I do isn't new. It's from...
No one invented anything we do, right?
Literally. So I just see something I like, I put it together with my own dogs, and if it works, I run with it. So I think just be open-minded and find people who, you know, share the same values as you.
I think because of no two dog trainers will agree like wholeheartedly on everything, they immediately need to then become enemies. And I don't think that's... I think it's getting better, actually, but I don't think that's the way of progressing the industry, especially when we start thinking about tools and things like that. But no two dog trainers are going to agree wholeheartedly on 100% of a system, or, you know, even you and myself, or myself and Hans, and you and Georgia that we had dinner with last night. No two dog trainers are going to agree on everything, but that doesn't mean we can't pick and... I'll say steal.
Yeah, it's stealing.
We've all stolen. We've all stolen. 100%.
We just sent Adar.
But no one invented it.
No.
A caveman with a piece of rope may have invented it at some point, but no one did. So people need to get off their high horses, I think, sometimes too, and act like they invented it.
Yeah. Because then it makes it hard for clients. Because if we're all bitching and fighting, then how are clients going to figure out what they need to do with their dogs?
They're in a minefield anyway, right?
Literally, and they don't understand anything. The amount of clients,
pillar to post.
Literally, and the amount that come to me and say, you know, my dog's resource guarding, and I've been told, I went to see a client the other week, and bless them, you know, their heart was in the right place, and they Googled, and obviously this whole bully ban at the moment, they thought the right thing to do was to be sticking their hands in this, like, this puppy's food, because they're seeing that that's how these dogs are being tested. So all this misinformation out there. So we need to kind of be on the same page when it comes to just helping the dog, even if we're coming at it from slightly different approaches.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, because we're people, so...
Yeah, when emotion's thrown into things.
Dog people are passionate people.
Oh, yeah, massively.
Yeah.
I'd say 99.9% all want the best for the dog, otherwise we wouldn't be in it.
Yeah.
It's just they truly do believe that their way is the best for the dog, so therefore other ways are not. But I think once we realise that, actually, we just want the same outcome here, we're just differing on how we think is best to achieve that, then maybe more people would see eye to eye.
Yeah.
Let's talk about dog sport. Mm-hmm. Probably the most difficult question I'll ask you. Mm-hmm. What is PSA?
PSA is a protection sports. The easiest way I can describe it is you have different parts. So you've got your obedience, you've got your protection. In order to go into the protection, you need to pass your obedience and essentially show that you have control over your dog. You've got the different levels, your entry, and then your 1, 2, and 3. And as the levels go up, the intensity, the difficulty increases. It's a sport that originated in America and it's made its way over to the UK. And it's really taken off.
It's growing rapidly, right?
It really has, which I think is really cool. I know we were saying last night that, you know, for those trainers that are in different sports, I think the PSA can look a bit like loud.
Yeah, and Hollywood.
And crazy. But I think that it's good for trainers over here to have, you know, something to get stuck into where they actually have to have control over the dogs. I think that's the appealing part for me. Is you have these intense, like they're monsters really, our dogs, these intense beings. And we're saying, I know you really want that bite, but you have to do X, Y, and Z first. And I think that's the appeal for me and a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want the flashy heel work, but then I want to be able to send my dog for a bite and then peel him away again and heel off.
Yeah. Nice. It is an entertaining sport.
I think so. Yeah. Watch. Yeah. And, you know, some really good people in it, some really good dogs, some really good handlers. We've got, I think there's a girl going for a PDC. I think she's 14 years old.
Oh, nice.
In a few weeks, so, which is incredible. So, yeah.
Where do you want to go with your dogs in PSA?
With Ruse, I'd like to see how far I could take him. So I don't know how far that would be.
Have you got a one?
Got the first leg of the one.
Yeah.
And then we were due to try on a few weeks, but had to pull due to injury. So hopefully next year we close that out. Whether that's in the UK or the States, I don't know. And Rod, my youngest, hopefully a PDC next year, but we'll see. Yeah, not
he's
too sure.
16
goal.
Months?
16 months, yeah. Yeah.
How's his progression?
It's been slow. Right. Yeah, he's a different dog to Ruse. Ruse is a prey junkie. Rod is defensive, so...
Okay.
We've been working a lot to teach him how to switch between the drives and essentially have fun. And he's... independent, he's selfish, he doesn't move like Rue, so he's been a completely different dog to raise, but I'm really enjoying it. Nice. It's a challenge. The milkshake dog.
Okay. A little while ago we put a poll out on Instagram to ask some questions, so we're going to go through a few of those questions. We had a little sneak peek earlier, but there's some good ones.
No,
in there
we didn't. It's all going to be completely
we have never seen these questions before ever. Okay, let's get them up. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
You're all wrapped up.
Yeah.
Would you like a hot water bottle?
Yes.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? If you had the choice of only training puppies or adult dogs, which would you choose?
Can I have an answer, one for sport and one for pet?
Fine.
Okay. So if it was a pet...
Yep.
Puppy.
Yep.
Why? Because I want to get everything right straight off the bat. If I can, I want to do the socializing, building motivation straight off the bat, luring all the behaviors. I want a nice well-rounded pet that can just chill, come everywhere with me, and I haven't got to worry about anything. That's my goal for my pet. For my sport, I wouldn't mind having an older dog, because then I could see what it's starting to be like already.
Okay.
In terms of if I was going to compete with it, bite work, temperament, etc.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's quite common now for people to buy green dogs. I've never done it for sport personally, but I wouldn't mind having that experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I've raised 2 sport dogs from puppies, so I wouldn't mind the experience of an adult. Just to try it once.
I'd be apprehensive.
Yeah?
Mm.
Why?
I would just like to know that I've had the input that I think is best for that dog from a puppy.
Yeah.
But I think, but I've not had the experience of raising multiple sport pets like yourself, so perhaps that would change with that experience. I don't know.
I've got a friend at the moment that's ended up with a German Shepherd that I actually met when she was a puppy, and she didn't really want to bite. She wasn't really too interested in everything. She went to another home, has made her way back to him, and now is awake.
I think, really?
Yeah, 9 or 10 months old. Different dog.
Likewise.
So she's just kind of grown up. And now he's, it's been quite interesting to see.
Mm. We've got a couple of rescue dogs in our club that have been a bit slower, but they've not had that development as a puppy, but I guess you can do it. What is your favourite dog training tool and why?
Food.
I was going to say e-collar until you said food, and then I'm like, okay, I'll say food.
Yeah, food, because I can lure everything with food. Yeah, food is where I start.
Food. Oh, you could say anything, right? You could say a lead. You're not getting far without a lead.
No, exactly. Yeah. Food.
It's a loaded question.
It is a loaded question, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the nice answer is... No, the honest answer is food. And do you know what? I'm probably going to go for a lead with a collar, because it gives direction.
Yeah.
I like direction. It's clear.
I like a slip collar. A slip collar and a lead.
Yeah.
And food.
Yeah.
You can get 90% of shit done with that, right?
Yep.
Okay. Which off-breed would you most want to train in high-level obedience? We'll say obedience / protection.
Has to be obedience / protection.
Okay, obedience, because that's the question.
A little Boston Terrier would be sick.
And why is that?
They've got a lot
to give. Hardy little fuckers,
aren't
they?
Yeah, and they've got a lot to give. Yeah. And I used to look after, well, it was a cross. She was a Boston cross Cocker Spaniel called Moose. And she was like Ruse, but this big. And the feet came up and she would spin and she was really quick. And she was so, like a little Energizer bunny.
I'm picturing her looking like a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel.
But bald. Yeah, like short hair.
Oh.
Yeah, one of those. Ugh. Maybe I could do some sends on like an IGP wedge or something, like to go into protection.
I've seen a couple of Frenchies and a Bulldog once doing just on a IPO sleeve.
Yeah.
It would be a bully for me. Chloe's dog, Kevin.
Kevin.
Mm.
Is he here today?
Yeah.
Has he been out?
No.
Okay.
He's got so much and it's not been tapped into at all.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't want to unleash the beast, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got so much. Mm. He's got as much as my dog.
Mm.
But it's just not being tapped into.
You going to?
And I would love... No. She doesn't want to. She won't let me. Mm. I'm absolutely desperate to get him into PSA, but she's just not having it.
No.
No.
I want to meet this dog now.
Yeah. He's just a specimen of a dog. Love him. Good character. Mm. Good temperament. Very wild and loose. Like, he's not... He's not that... He's not obedient in the slightest, really. He comes
just
back
does whatever
cold.
He wants.
Yeah. But he's got good head. He's got good form.
Mm.
He's a pit bull, not a pit bull.
Mm.
He's a good boy. Yeah, it would be Kevin, specifically.
Kevin. Just
and it's a good name. Okay. Which behaviours do you enjoy teaching most in PSA?
Healing. Focused heal.
Yeah.
Focused heal.
That's all over your Instagram, right?
Yeah. I'm hopeful that one day there'll be a sport that's just healing in straight lines. Imagine if I didn't come first in it that way. Yeah. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
It's over
you
for me.
You would quit.
I would quit, yeah. I'd have like a massive bitch fit.
Would you? Start throwing your cap. cap on the floor, kicking your dog.
Healing.
I'm
because,
going.
Yeah. No, definitely healing, because one, it takes forever to teach, and then to add it in with control around a decoy is like a whole other thing. Yeah, healing. 100% healing.
Mine's the out.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because you want a nice conflict-free, clean out.
Yeah, that's what... If I'm ever watching dogs that are working, that's what impresses me the most.
Yeah.
The out.
Right.
The in's good.
Yeah.
But show a good out.
Yeah.
In the in, I go, ooh. And in the out, I go, whoa.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do you want to know a funny story about the out with
Ruse? Please.
So when I first got Ruse, obviously I had to teach an out, and he's my first Malinois. So I was watching all these programs and I was like, I'm going to go for the Michael Ellis way.
Okay.
So I watched this video and I thought, okay, so he's on the tug and then I move it and then I go still.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen is he's going to chew his way
off
slowly. I did it outside my house at the time in a car park. 17 minutes he was just hanging, like pulling like this, and then I just had to give up.
Yeah.
And we didn't teach the out that way.
Yeah, I've attempted the out with a certain breeds that way, and
yeah,
the I can't see it happening.
No bueno. No.
Is Ruse the milkshake?
No, he's the FCI man.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Rod would have done it that way either, though, to be fair.
No.
I think he would have just hung on growling.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I'm surprised with Ruse.
Yeah.
I thought he might have.
Mm. Nope.
Nope. Hung on stayed for dear there. Life.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to first-time Malinois owners or anyone interested in sport?
First-time Malinois owners, good club, good mentor, crate train.
Crate train.
Crate train.
Yeah.
Definitely crate train. Know the dog that you're getting as well. Like, know the parents, know the breeder, ask questions. You know, you don't want to, there's, you know, different types of Malinois. They're the ones that, you know, I have two boys from different places. One's more social than the other. So I think that's important to, you know, to get your head around before you bring one into the house. First time sport people, do research before you get the dog. Go and spend some time at different clubs. If they'll let you, go and see how they train their dogs. Ask questions. Try and find out as well, like, the commitment it takes. It takes a lot to be part of a club. The travel, the money, the commitment.
There's not a huge abundance of clubs here yet. They're sprouting up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're still the only one in New Yorkshire.
Yeah.
I think Crown's then closest. And there's one in Durham. But, yeah, they're few and far between still. Yeah. Although they are popping up. I guess last year there was only 1/2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there? Yeah. It was 2020.
Perfection with the first, and then I think Norfolk Nashes came swiftly after. But then, as far as I'm aware, I mean, I know Norfolk Nashes are full. I'm not sure about Perfection, but
Crown's full.
Yeah, I mean, the quicker it's rising, then the clubs are getting full. So
we need another decoy. We've got three puppies on the way, and then we're full.
Yeah, yeah.
So
need more decoys as a whole, I think.
Mm.
It's a good thing.
More people to get bit.
Yeah.
Interest you?
I've done it a couple of times, and no, I'd rather be sending the dog.
I think you've got to be into it.
Yeah, and you've got to be good on your feet. My turns in my healing are abysmal, so I can't catch dogs. Oh, okay. It's all about, like, turning. Yeah, and, yeah, no.
I know who's asked this question, and he's got a Labrador, very nice obedience, and he's a dog trainer, and he speaks a lot of sense, so I think he'll be fine. I think he wants a sport dog.
Yeah.
Maybe pick your sport first.
Pick your sport first. Oh, yeah. For sure, yeah.
Okay, I want PSA. Want to do PSA? Okay, you know, pick a dog that's going to be suited for PSA.
Mm.
Or French Ring or IPO or whatever.
Yeah. I wish they did
French
Ring.
And then find
a
club.
Here.
And then we've got people that are coming to our club without dogs.
Yeah.
Waiting for their puppies. Yeah. Just getting, seeing the puppies coming through and seeing what's going on with them and making sure they're set off on the right foot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, preparedness. Don't get a dog, then try and figure out what you're going to do. Figure out what you're going to do, then look for the dog last. And if there's not a dog ready or not a dog suitable, wait.
Yeah.
Just wait. Yeah. No rush.
Yeah, I had a couple of students start doing sessions with me before they even got their dogs. So they had all the questions answered and had a real feel for it by the time the puppy came, which I thought was really good.
Nice. Three more. What got you both into PSA?
Both.
What got you into PSA? I think he's asking both of us.
Oh, okay. Mostly... Okay, so the honest answer is... I remember watching people on Instagram thinking how Alyssa with that, it's the Valak the Dutchie account, and Jared with Akuma. Those were the two big accounts I was watching, thinking how do they have this heel work? And then they out, like you say, clean out of the decoy, and the dogs are spinning back in and they're picking them up and just healing away. I didn't understand how to get from here to here. And I'm obsessive like that in my training. I like all the tiny little pieces. So I wanted some of that. And then accessibility in this country. We only have, you know, a couple of sports here. I was doing Mondio Ring, but I wasn't getting what I felt like Ruse needed, which was regular bite work.
Yeah, okay.
It's quite small in this country. And I wanted something that I could do, you know, once, twice a week minimum.
Yeah, sometimes if you're not doing enough bite work, it can be enough to get the dog, like, super addicted on it.
Mm-hmm.
But not enough to, like, satiate them to the point that they're not, like, a crackhead.
Yeah, and Ruse is a dog that anticipates a lot. He is just one of those dogs that control is always going to be something that I need a good foundation in. You know, when he comes back from this injury, I know I'm going to have some headache sessions, and that's okay.
Yeah,
we'll get back to the point that we were at, but he's just that kind of dog. So to do bite work once or twice a month, and then pre-trial as well, just it wasn't enough. So yeah, accessibility, and it's just cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah. It is cool. I can't remember how I first was exposed to it. Maybe the Canine Paradigm. They go on about it a lot. I don't know.
Didn't you do... Were you the trainer that did the video with all the smoke?
Yeah.
So I just figured maybe...
That was...
You were like, oh, this could... And then you did that and maybe thought, oh, this is kind of like PSA.
I think I wanted to do PSA before I got the dog.
Okay.
I was aware of his dad.
Yeah.
Who's his mum's now in America.
Oh.
Doing PSA.
Really?
Yeah.
At what level? What's she?
I don't know. I don't know. They don't put. They're not very active on their Instagram.
Okay.
I think they've just bred out of her again.
Some of the really good dog trainers aren't very active on Instagram.
No.
Silent.
No.
Yeah.
We had a chat last night about how your Instagram following does not equate to how good of a dog trainer you are.
No.
That's very important.
No.
Hans out there has a lot less followers than me.
And he's
a very good dog trainer.
Yeah.
And there's some amazing dog trainers that have significantly less followers than me, but are significantly more knowledgeable at dog training.
Yeah.
Which I've got no problem admitting. It does not equate. It means you're good at social media.
100%. Social media is just a game.
Yeah.
Like the reels I post aren't really about dog training. They're just kind of, you know...
They're emotive.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Versus... Here's how you teach X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Because there's some... Can I say this? There's some very big accounts that have massive followings that you can't even consider them dog trainers.
Yeah, I've heard that Raven Canine's a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
She can heal, that's about it.
Yeah, that is it. Okay, next one. What are your favourite and least favourite traits for each of your dogs?
That's a good question.
You rattle through your three.
Okay, my favourite about, we'll do Raven first, her off switch in the house is just takes herself off and goes and lays down.
Oh,
just
nice.
Really refreshing. Least favourite, she barks, the barking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the barking. I didn't have her as a puppy, and the barking, whether it's, you know, you load her up into the van or something, she just... Sounds like a seal. It's about, it goes through you. If you know Raven, you know what I'm talking about. Favorite about Rod, he is so sweet and stable out of drive. Like, just with everything, everyone.
He's a nice boy.
He's a really nice boy, yeah. Least favorite. I don't know, you know, actually.
Yeah.
I can't think of one about Rod just yet. I don't know if this is a trait so much, but he moved like a brick when he was younger. He wasn't very, I don't know how to describe it, like he just didn't move. He was like stiff.
Like finesse.
Yeah. Okay. Which is maybe a little bit unfair because I was comparing him to Ruse, who was just like a little hurricane. Ruse, favourite thing, favourite trait, he just wants to do stuff with me, just wants to please. And that's really nice for training, like whatever we do together.
Yep.
Least favourite. It's a bit annoying in the house sometimes.
Like what?
Constantly vibrating. Can we do
something? Oh, really?
Can we do something? Can we do something? Can we do something?
Yeah, that is kind of annoying.
Yeah. But I guess they go hand in hand. Like, I really want to do something, Mum. It's good for training, but then living with him.
It's a trade-off.
Yeah. Even though I have, you know, the off switch and the place command, etc. It's just constantly. Yeah.
Stark does a little bit of that, but he's not too bad. He's not too bad. He's quite an easy dog to live with.
Yeah.
My favourite about him is his ability to endure pressure and his stability.
Yeah.
I've not seen him flinch at pressure.
Mm.
He gets loaded and triggered by certain things, but he's never... He won't shy away from anything. Mm. And my least favourite is, again, probably connected. His self-preservation is terrible.
Okay, yeah. Smashes into things.
Yeah, it just smashes into things, hurts himself, like jumps over things, like would run through a brick wall, injure himself. So he's picked up knocks here and there.
Yeah.
Just doing stupid shit around the house.
Yeah.
Like my mum came to stay recently and I just was just getting out of bed and I just heard like this massive crash and wallop and he jumped on top of his crate, did a backflip off it, like smashed into the door, broke the door, was limping, ball in his mouth. So yeah, like living with him in that sense is just self-preservation drive is non-existent. So
and
he won't really tell you when he's hurt either.
No.
So like I'm constantly second guessing, like, is he walking funny? Is he okay? Is he a bit off? Is he really hurt? Because he just will not tell you.
You literally did that most of the walk earlier. There's something wrong. He's off.
Here's a story for you that I never thought I'd tell. I took his bed to the laundrettes. Like every month or so we take all the beds here to the laundrettes and they must have broken the bed.
Okay.
And they've safety pinned it together. 5 safety pins. Oh. Now, I've only known that afterwards.
All right.
And you know those?
Yeah.
So I wake up one day, I go down, and the bed's just fucking shredded. And I'm like, oh, Christ. But I didn't know they safety pinned it together because they did it on the inside. Mm. However, I find a safety pin. I ring the laundrette, and they're like, oh, yeah, the bed ripped. We just popped it back together for you. I'm like, okay, good. You could have told me that before I put it in with my dog. He's eaten 5 safety pins open. Oh. The dog the next day has shit 5 safety pins open. Fully open.
That is a lucky dog.
I know. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get him x-rayed just in case. Yeah. And I did. Nothing there. This was like 6 months ago. He's fine. But that's crazy. Dog chews on safety? And they're chewed up as well. So he's like chewed on them.
Yeah.
That's what I mean with the stupidity. Any other dog's going to go, well, that's sharp. I'm not going to eat that. That's the last thing I want to do is eat that.
Well, I got told that Dutchies were meant to be smarter.
Okay.
And less impulsive than the Mals. But Raven once took a can of dog food off the side. I came home and she was in her bed and she'd chewed through the top.
Oh.
Split all her paw pads open. Her gums were bleeding and she was just sat there like in a frenzy.
Oh, Christ.
So proud of herself for getting through it. So
did she hit all the food in it?
She managed to like peel back some of the top. So she'd stuck her tongue in there. There was like bits missing. That's where like she was all cut up and she was still going. She'd have gone.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
They're like super smart, but super thick.
Yeah.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, that is the best way to describe them.
Last question. I don't know whether we want to answer this one, but what are your views on the current state of the dog training / owning world?
Dog training / owning world?
Yeah.
The state of it.
The state of it.
The state
of it. I don't know. The state of it.
Let me think about this. Let me think about this question. I feel like only human beings could do something like welcome an animal into its home and say, you're just going to live on the sofa, or I'm not going to fulfill you, you know, with things like bite sports, you know, for the Mals and the Dutchies, etc. Or you have to behave a certain way and it's not okay if you are dog aggressive or you chase cars. I think that we...
Especially when we get breeds that are designed for certain things, right?
Like people get border collies and instead of putting them on farms, we've got them in houses with kids and then we wonder why they're chasing the kids and then we put it on the dog. And yeah, I wish there was some sort of, maybe it was like a program where, okay, I'm going to buy this breed of dog, but I have to do this program first where I learn all about like the genetics and the breed traits, etc. And then I have to explain what I'm going to be doing with this dog. And I know that'd be really difficult to you know, regulate, but I do think it's a little bit of a shambles in terms of things like that. I don't think that we should just be able to buy any breed of dog that we like. It's such a loaded question.
I know.
Such a loaded question.
I know, you've got to be careful.
Yeah.
Tiptoeing.
Yeah, I'm trying my hardest.
No, I agree with you. Right? No, I agree with you. Yeah, certain breeds are just... Yeah, they're not designed to go be on the sofa. And don't think they're designed to be on the sofa. Just because you had a friend that whose sister's auntie's boyfriend's mother had a border collie that chilled around the house and it was 9 years old when you remember it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you need to go get one called Jet and expect it just to chill out all day. Mm-hmm. It's not happening for the most part.
And you do get... You know, I have 2 girlfriends that have 2 border collies exceptional owners. They do agility with them, yeah. Take them everywhere, they're demo dogs, and they hold down full-time jobs as well. It's not like, you know, they're dog trainers.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be the exception. And the dog training world, I don't think it's ever going to change. Nope. We're always going to have our camps, yep. And that's okay. But I think the more that different trainers from different camps can come together and share information and resources, you know, maybe it'll get a little bit better. Maybe it won't, but I think it'll always be like it.
Yeah, I don't think much is changing there. It's perhaps futile to comment because of... Yeah, I don't think... It's like politics.
Of course
swing right, swing
it
left,
is.
Swing right, yeah. Swing left. And...
But I think there's enough people in... There's enough people in each camp that you can have a nice community around you, you can share the same values and do good. You haven't all got to be... You know, all the camps don't have to get along with each other, but as long as everyone does their own thing and enjoys it and the dogs are happy, then...
What about dog trainers that say they're in one camp, but you watch their dogs and they're evidently not? Because I know a couple of them.
What's that thing you say in America, my Fifth Amendment right or something? You don't want
to answer. Yeah. All right, we'll leave it there. Cool. That's about us.
Okay.
It was very nice to speak to you.
And you.
Thanks very much for coming up.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to the seminar.
Me too.
With Hans.
Yes.
And you're not trialing in December.
Not trialing in December, no.
But I'll see you there.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be warmer. Probably not. But...
It won't. It'll probably be colder.
I know. It's so cold.
I've told Jake I'm going to trial in a t-shirt no matter what, so...
Who, pardon?
I've told Jake I'm going to trial in a t-shirt no matter what.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay, it was snowing last year at the trial.
I said no matter what. We've got a bet on it.
What's the bet? How much?
I don't know. I think it's more like a forfeit bet than a price bet. So
rather we'll come than up with me. A
cool. Right, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Follow Raven Canine Dog Training on Instagram.
Yes.
And you can buy a puppy course or do a mentorship program or book a one-to-one.
Yes.
And join which PSA club?
I'm training with Norfolk Nashers and also I train with my friends.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you later, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.